This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. As tensions mount between the U.S. and China, Secretary of State Blinken paid a visit to Beijing on Monday and met with President Xi Jinping.
I stress that direct engagement and sustained communication at senior levels is the best way to responsibly manage our differences and ensure that competition does not veer into conflict.
Meanwhile, China is working with Cuba to possibly put a new joint military training facility on the island. According to the Wall Street Journal, U.S. officials are clearly concerned it could lead to China stationing its troops and other security and intelligence operations just 100 miles off the coast of Florida. It's not a done deal yet. U.S. intelligence reports say discussions are in the advanced stage, though, but have not concluded. The search is on for a submersible that went missing on Sunday. The watercraft was carrying five people to see the wreckage of the Titanic.
Four planes from the U.S. and Canada are searching the surface of the Atlantic, 900 miles east of Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
We're doing everything that we can do to locate the submersible and rescue those on board.
Coast Guard Rear Admiral John Mauger says the vessel has about 96 hours of emergency oxygen. The search is also underwater, but there are no submarines in place just yet.
We're doing that right now with the use of sonar buoys and sonar on the ship that's out there.
The search area is 2.5 miles deep. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
Mississippi got hit with some severe weather. Multiple tornadoes swept through. One person died, dozens were injured, and there is widespread damage. The city of Moss Point was in the direct path of one twister. Here's School District Superintendent Oswego Harper.
Thank God that all of our children and our faculty and staff are safe. No one sustained any injuries. But some significant damage to our facilities.
Tens of thousands across the state are still without power. Off to Texas now, where it is really hot. The excessive heat is even making some people sick.
The ambulance provider here in Fort Worth says 20 people got sick walking in a Juneteenth event and had to go to a cooling station and get water. Two people went to the hospital. Some say the weather took them by surprise.
With it raining, it was more humid.
I love the 8 o'clock hour because we had a lot of overcast. It was kind of cool, but by 11 o'clock, it was really hot.
The National Weather Service says the heat index could reach 120 degrees over the next 2 days over much of Texas from the Oklahoma border to the Rio Grande. Alan Skaya for CBS News, Fort Worth.
This is CBS News.
Hiring's a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trevi Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer today, Mr. Evan Preston. It is Monday, June 19th, 2023. Glad to have you along with us on a start of the work week. Probably nobody going back to school at this point, unless maybe summer school. I'm not sure, but a beautiful week nonetheless. Mr. Preston, we enjoy and appreciate having you with us. How was your weekend, sir?
I enjoy and appreciate being here with you. I'm well. I'm well. Good, it's a wonderful good. Father's Day.
Really? Spend time with the folks, or what do you do?
That's right. No, that's exactly right, man. It was nice and easy. A little hot today.
I called my dad, and happy Father's Day to him up in Shawano, to Jim up there. But I called dad, talked with him. I stayed in Madison because I am moving this week, moving to a different apartment, and so it was packing weekend for Todd. So that's why I've been up to my, and I was packing some glassware, and it's one of those things where you have no idea how you do it. You're packing, you're taking glasses out of the shelf to wrap them up or whatever, and I thought it was like one of those times where I thought I was dropping it, but it just felt like it, and so I kind of like bobbled it and went to catch it. And I ended up smashing the glass on my countertop, and the top of it went into my hand. Not a major cut, but just one of those that like it won't stop bleeding.
And so had more fun than you're allowed this weekend. It's official.
It was not fun, but it was productive. Got a few things done. Hopefully that your weekend across Wisconsin was good as well. Excited to get back at it today with you all. This hour coming up at 1:30. We are going to be talking to Dr. Julie Underwood. She is the founder of the Wisconsin Public Education Network and former dean of the UW-Madison College of Education. She's going to be here to talk about the state of K-12 and higher education in Wisconsin. A great day for it, as this comes at the same time as Wisconsin's Legislative Joint Finance Committee taking up education with a $7 billion surplus of our state tax money. Here's somebody who understands education all the way from kindergarten through post-secondary. Someone who spent her career in education. Knows it inside and out. Knows the UW system. Having overseen the School of Education at UW-Madison, understands what it's like to go through the budget process. So she will be here to tell us firsthand what's going on, giving us her take, and also this new project of hers, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, a great organization, bringing to light the needs for public education across this state. What's the real facts out there? And this is someone who doesn't have a political bent necessarily, has spent her life, when you're a part of a university, particularly in leadership, you can't afford to have a hyper-partisan bent. Because you never know what side's going to control the legislature. You never know what side's going to control the governor's office. So you have to be able to kind of put your personal partisan politics aside and just do what's best for your college, what's best for your school, what's best for the state. So here's somebody who's going to bring the facts today. My question I'm asking you before she comes on the show, coming on at 1:30,
by the way, what would you like to know from Dr. Underwood? I mean, I have things I want to ask as well. But I think oftentimes listening to talk radio, you go, why doesn't he ask him this? Geez, I really like to know that. So if you would like, if you have a question for me that you would like to submit here in the first part of the program for our interview at 1:30, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Make it easy for you, 844-96-PARTY. What would you like me to ask Dr. Julie Underwood, the founder of the Wisconsin, Wisconsin Public Education Network and a dean, former dean of UW-Madison's College of Education? What education questions do you have? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. She will be here at the bottom of the hour. Also coming up on the program in hour number two, stay with us now, the Milwaukee Brewers are back on top of the NL Central Division. They swept the Pirates over the weekend. Great series at home. And now they're going to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks at home this weekend. And we are giving away four tickets to Wednesday's game. Wednesday, June 21st. Game time set for 1:10 p.m. You can be there on Wednesday afternoon in our beautiful Civic Media seats. They are in the club level. These are not your run-of-the-mill seats. They are in a club level. You have concessions right outside of where you sit. Bathrooms right off the door, the kind of the private entry there where you go into to sit in the club seats. Beautiful view from the third base side over into the Brewers dugout. Can see all the players and coaches. Great view of the scoreboard. Stay tuned. We will give away four tickets to Wednesday afternoon's game against the Arizona Diamondbacks in our second hour. Be with us then. Also, we'll be talking about Juneteenth. Today is Juneteenth. We'll discuss what that means, where it came from, and the irony of it falling the day after the Wisconsin Republican State Convention as it wrapped up in La Crosse yesterday, and what the modern-day version of the party that uses the title of Republican voted to approve over the weekend, what they stand for. And of course, your calls, as always, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Stay with us now. Got to go to a break. Be back. We're coming up on a break. Be back after this on the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite, and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We have a sunny, warm week coming up this week. In fact, we're not expecting to see much in the way of rain until at least Saturday night, possibly into Sunday. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to about 89 for a high this afternoon. The wind southeast at 5 to 15. Basically the same each day this week. 61 clear tonight, 90 tomorrow, 88 on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 15 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on a Monday, June 19th, 2023. Evan Preston, our engineer today, along with us. We appreciate him, appreciate you as well. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, great guest, excited to invite her and have her here on the program, Julie Underwood, the founder of the Wisconsin Public Education Network, former dean of the University of Wisconsin-Madison College of Education. She's going to be talking to us about the state of K-12 and higher education in Wisconsin as the legislature's Joint Finance Committee takes up the education budget this week. $7 billion surplus, don't forget, of our tax money in the coffers. But yet Republicans in the legislature want to continue to cut or not adequately fund education in this state. Also, hour number two, Milwaukee Brewer tickets giveaway in hour two. They take on the Arizona Diamondbacks this week at home. We have tickets, four of them, for tomorrow afternoon's game at 1:10. We'll be giving those away. Don't forget, you can listen to Milwaukee Brewers baseball all season long on the Milwaukee Brewers Radio Network. Right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Two stations for you. If you're in the Fox Valley, WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, you can listen to that station on AM 1100, the Big 1100, and also on FM 98.3 in the Fox Valley. Or if you're in the southwest part of the state, my home station, WRCE in Richland Center, Southwest Wisconsin News from the Center, AM 1450 and FM 107.7, WRCE in Richland Center, Milwaukee Brewers baseball all season long right here on Civic Media, courtesy of the Milwaukee Brewers Radio Network, and giving away four tickets next hour. I want to bring this up kind of as a lead-in to Dr. Underwood at the bottom of the hour. And of course, we're taking your phone calls. If you want, if you have a question, doesn't matter whether it's public or private education on the K-12 side, or if you've got questions on the higher ed side, taking your calls, what would you like me to ask Dr. Underwood at the bottom of the hour? Let's go to the phones, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We have Keith in Madison. Keith, welcome to the program across Wisconsin.
Hi, Todd. Good show. I guess I'm kind of crossing over. I was listening to Brian's show.
Sure.
We had someone call in there from the Republican side there, was claiming that the public education is losing students as they go to the private schools. So he didn't have any facts on it, and so I looked it up. I found an article from USA Today that says there's 13,000 public school districts. Now, this is the whole country.
Sure.
30,000 individual private schools.
Mm-hmm.
But it also states in here that according to the most recent data from the National Center for Educational Statistics, public schools still attract far more students than private schools.
Sure.
And so this was his comment that the public schools were losing students to the private school, but that just isn't the case, at least according to this article from USA Today. So my question for the doctor would be, is that true in Wisconsin? Are we losing more students to the from the public schools to the private schools in this state?
I think it's a fantastic question and a great call, because we'll fact check this with her, because she'll know the facts on this. I believe in some Absolutely. Cases, from what I know, is that in some cases that is accurate. And part of that is just declining enrollments. People are having, we're getting into that generation of fewer babies, right? So that's part of it, is declining enrollments across everywhere. Also, and this is a really interesting, nuanced thing that a lot of people don't talk about. You know how there's name, image, and likeness now in college sports, and athletes get paid, and some of they're going to schools where they can get the best deal and money. What nobody wants, or a few people want to talk about, is that is happening to a degree in Wisconsin high schools, where private high schools under open enrollment are going and recruiting high school athletes to come to their high schools to make better sports teams. And that's, I mean, it's a small fraction of students transferring, but that's also something I find that very interesting and very disturbing, quite frankly. So we'll ask Dr. Underwood at the bottom of the hour about this. Where, you know, are public schools losing students to private schools, and why? Great call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Keith in Madison. Keith, thanks for holding. What say you, sir?
We got Dave in Mequon this time around.
Oh, all right. Very good. Sorry about that. Dave in Mequon, you're up next, sir. What say you across Wisconsin?
Oh, really? Well, thanks for taking my call. And I just want to say really quickly, it's totally off the subject for just a second. Those seats, I actually won those seats a few weeks ago, and they are spectacular seats. I will say I was not disappointed. I was very impressed. So,
well, that's awesome. We appreciate
it. Whoever gets that, appreciate it.
Well, appreciate you calling in, Dave, and wait, whatever, you know, 28 days, or we have to go 30 days in between, so wait another 30 days, and right. You're eligible again. But I appreciate you calling in and saying that.
Okay. And so my question would be for your guest that's coming in is this. So I've gone to both private and public schools in my lifetime.
Sure.
I actually went to a private school early in my, you know, in my young years, and then I ventured over to public school, and I went to the University of Minnesota with a degree in urban planning.
Okay.
What I look at it is this way. So the previous caller, depending on what state it is, keep in mind, Wisconsin has been definitely pushing for more school choice. Mm-hmm. And yes, if you look at Milwaukee, the public school system has dramatically shrunk the last, I don't know, 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
That being the case, my question to, is it Underwood?
Yep, Underwood. Yep. Underwood? Yep.
Okay. My question would be this. How much more money would be need to be allocated towards public schools? Because it always seems to be never enough money. Whatever right. It is, referendums, it's just never enough. And consequently, if you've been looking, especially during the pandemic, the proficiency scores have gone down dramatically across the entire state of Wisconsin. Doesn't matter if you're in a rich district or a poor district,
mm-hmm.
they have all gone down dramatically. Where is there going to be some accountability on that aspect of it? Because if we're going to give this money and we're not getting the results that we should be, I just think that we need to have something tied to that to say, okay, if we're going to do this, I understand people, I am a pro-school choice person
mm-hmm.
because I think at the end of the day, I think parents should be very engaged with their children as far as getting that education, be it private, public, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be engaged. And sometimes if you're not engaged, unfortunately, the child is the one that's the biggest loser in that situation. So that would be my question to Underwood. And then the second question would be, UW-Madison has been really kind of stable to losing students. And part of the reason why, so my best friend has three daughters at UW-Madison right now.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times when they go to class, the professor that they're supposed to get, and this is not just current, this has been going on for years, they're never there. You're always getting a teacher's aide or somebody else that's teaching the class that, they're the ones actually giving them all the information to the students, and you don't have that particular professor, and they're off to who knows where. They're doing some sort of excursion.
Dave,
or something.
I appreciate the calls or the questions. I wrote them down here. I will ask her to get the answer. I would say a couple of things. A, on the performance side in terms of COVID-19. You know, a lot of districts, I think both public and private during COVID-19, I mean, students were at home, they were doing online learning, you know, and kids just for whatever reason weren't able to or fully engaged. And so when you have these performance already out there, you have the quote unquote failing schools where if schools don't meet a certain proficiency, they get cut. Well, how can you blame an educator or a school district when your kids aren't even in class, when you're trying to do this over internet? Some households have more than one child. Some families only have one computer, and some families still have dial-up across the state because Republicans refuse to adequately fund broadband in this state. So when you can't see the child, when you can't educate the child, how can you expect performance to be up there? So, I mean, that's one of them. And on UW-Madison, both my godsons just graduated from UW-Madison within the last 3 years. One is an engineer, and one is a microbiologist. In a world-class university the size of UW-Madison, it is not unusual, particularly in undergrad courses, you know, to have a TA, teaching assistant, come in and teach part of those courses. Now, I mean, I can't speak into your friend's situation at all, but it's certainly not the norm to have the assigned professor there every day. It doesn't matter whether it's UW-Madison or Harvard or Yale or USC or wherever. That's just the way, you know, when it gets to that level of higher education, TAs play a role in a lot of those courses. So, but I appreciate the call, Dave. Thank you so much, Mequon. Appreciate you calling and have a great day. If you'd like to add your two cents, we'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We have our guest coming up here in just a couple of minutes at the bottom of the hour. She is Julie Underwood, Dr. Julie Underwood, the founder of Wisconsin Public Education Network and former dean of the UW-Madison College of Education, talking about all this, K-12 and higher education, as the Joint Finance Committee under Republican control takes up the education budget. Don't have time to get into it right now, but I'll give you a little tease for next hour. Great story over the weekend in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Lawrence Andrea. Headline, Speaker Robin Voss says he's quote-unquote embarrassed to be a UW system alumnus because of campus diversity programs. Not making this up. He says, quote, this is probably to me the single most important issue that we face as people, as a nation, and as really humanity. Robin Voss said at the state Republican convention. He was talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts at the state's public universities, right? He relabeled the DEI acronym to division, exclusion, and indoctrination. His words, not mine.
Oh, my.
Right. He said, quote, the overt racism, the overt exclusion, the overt indoctrination is so deeply inside the UW system, I am embarrassed to be an alumni. We have to fix that, unquote. Here's the great line later on. Robin Voss, what's poppin'? He owns a popcorn business. That's why I like to say that. It's true. He has a popcorn business. He deals in popcorn. And somebody has to. God love him. Robin Voss said, quote, DEI is the new religion of the left. They don't go to church on Sunday, but they have no problem using taxpayer dollars to evangelize on every college campus across the state. We have to stop, put our foot down, and not allow it to continue, unquote. A little anti-Semitic there. Not sure if Robin Voss knows this, but Jewish people go to temple on Saturdays, not on Sunday. Let's go to the phone calls quickly. A couple minutes left here before the break. How much time we have left here? Let's go to a phone. Ron in Milwaukee. My time is short, my friend.
Hey, got 20 seconds, Ron.
Go ahead, Ron.
20 seconds. Okay. State Democratic Senate analysis of the proposed increases for private voucher schools.
Yeah.
Shows that the
Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Blinken was in China and met with President Xi Jinping. He talked about the meeting with CBS's Margaret Brennan.
Are we in a place, though, as two governments where you're negotiating or even talking about a prisoner release, or is this just...
Yes, we are.
You are.
We are.
Still no sign of a submersible that went missing Sunday during a trip to see the wreckage of the Titanic. It lost contact almost 2 hours into its dive. Coast Guard Rear Admiral John Mauger.
The location of the search is approximately 900 miles east of Cape Cod in a water depth of roughly 13,000 feet.
Damage assessment in Moss Point, Mississippi after an apparent tornado ripped through their community Monday afternoon. WLOX TV reporter Stephanie Poole.
Dozens of people are out here just trying to figure out really what's next, except for just to go ahead and get those recovery efforts started.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served...
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through...
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988. Then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. If you haven't got the app yet, now is a good time to do it. Go to your app store. And as we got word over the weekend, now not just on Apple products, but also on Android products as well. A brand new edition of the Civic Media app. Just go to the app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. For Civic Media comes up, takes about a minute to download it. It's free, and you can listen to all the great programming across Civic Media anytime you have Wi-Fi or cell phone service. A great time to download that. We are also thrilled this afternoon to have our next guest. She is Dr. Julie Underwood, the founder of Wisconsin Public Education Network and former dean of the University of Wisconsin-Madison College of Education. She's going to be here talking about education all the way from K-12 all the way up to post-secondary education and authority across the state. Julie, thank you so very much for being with us today. We really appreciate you taking the time on a very timely subject across the state.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on. And just one thing, you know, it takes a village to do anything. Mm. And there were a lot of people who founded the Public Education Network.
Well, that's a great point. But you are certainly one of the principals, and we appreciate all your work. For those who might not be, because we are a statewide show, for those that might not have heard of you before, be aware of your background. Give folks a little sense, kind of where did you grow up and how did you get into education?
Oh, well, that's the family story, because both of my parents are public school educators and administrators. And because of that, we moved around quite a bit, about every 3 or 4 years. As we went, my father was a superintendent. We went from district to district, particularly as they were setting up special ed programs before they were federally mandated. So I've lived in lots of places.
And then,
but the place I've lived the longest mm-hmm. is Madison, Wisconsin.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were dean of the College of Education at UW Madison from 05 to 15. And about 9 years ago, you helped found Wisconsin Public Education Network. During your time, because my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, was the first woman in the state to be a dean of a UW college, UW-Richland, back in the late 60s and early 70s. So she would be thrilled to have me. She is unfortunately now passed, but she was a huge proponent of particularly women in education in this state. How did you come to the deanship at UW-Madison, and what were some of the biggest changes that you saw in the programming, the college, the trajectory of higher ed during your time at UW-Madison?
Well, I actually started at UW-Madison in 1986, mm-hmm. I think in 1986 as a faculty member coming from the University of North Dakota, and I was there as a faculty member in the School of Education and in the law school. And then I left in 95, mainly to go to D.C., mainly those 10 years that I was gone. I was in D.C. as a general counsel for the National School Boards Association. And when I had the chance to come back to be dean of the School of Education and be in Wisconsin, I chose to come home to Madison and came back in 05. And the changes I saw in those 10 years, it's an incredible school of education. It's always been, for years and years, it's been one of the top schools of education in the United States, usually the number one public school of education in the United States. And it has a real commitment to the Wisconsin idea, which is, kind of what has drawn me and always has had my heart.
That's one of the things that I find so fascinating. I don't mean to go, and if you're uncomfortable going, I don't mean to go deep into politics, but I think that the Wisconsin idea, that the idea that the borders of our university are the borders of our state, the continual sifting and whittling of ideas leads to the truth.
Yeah.
Those have been literally emblazoned on brass plaques at Bascom. And those have been fairly universal ideas that have held throughout both Democratic and Republican administrations, the governor's office and the legislature. And it seems like between 05 and 15, those very ideals, those foundational ideals, have now seemed to be up for grabs.
Absolutely. Academic freedom, diversity, the notion that we should all be out helping everyone. Those certainly have come into play. And do you know, think about this, both for K-12 and in higher education, it used to be that education was a nonpartisan issue. And nowadays it's highly partisan, and it's not the fault of K-12 or higher education, but it's certainly our problem. It's done great damage to the state.
So in 05, I was working for, I'm a former Republican, emphasis on former. I left the party in 2011. But in 05.
Recovering?
Recovering. I thought about calling this show the Redemption Tour. But, in 05, I was working for Dale Schultz, who was then the majority leader in the state Senate. And even as a Republican at that time, there was still cooperation with Democrats. And at the time, Governor Jim Doyle, a Democrat. That we were still going to find the best. We might disagree on some of the minutia, but it was still, we have to fund the university at the best levels to get the best programs done. We have an obligation to K-12 education. And it doesn't matter whether it was Tommy Thompson or Jim Doyle in the governor's office, that always seemed to be generally we could go on the right trajectory. It seems like under the Walker administration and now with the Republican legislature, again, we hear it from the political side. My question to you is, Julie, is from the academic side, are these things discussed within the academia of like, what the heck are these people doing? Is it just as baffling on your side as it is on ours?
Oh, absolutely. When you're out in the rest of the United States and sometimes in the rest of the world, People say, what happened to Wisconsin? Wisconsin used to be a really, you know, a state that supported all sorts of liberties and supported its K-12 and higher education. And you've been a leader. And what has happened to Wisconsin? And, you know, there are places that will even say, well, at least we're not as bad as Wisconsin.
And that just breaks my heart. I mean, I went to UW Richland, UW Platteville, you know, as someone who was proud of his time at a UW institution. And again, I don't want to go too far down the political road, but we just got done, you know, Robin Voss saying he's now embarrassed to be an alum of UW system from Whitewater because of the diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives that he's tried to unfund. What does that say? As someone who's in touch nationally, what does that say again about Wisconsin to have this even being an issue here?
Well, what it says to me is that these legislators have turned their back on public education and turned their back on the public, at large. You know, think about this. Our great grandparents invested over the average over years and years to create a great system of higher education in Wisconsin and a good system of K-12 education in Wisconsin. And now they have divested us of that and turned their values around, turning their back on our heritage and turning their back on the history of investment that we've had in the state of Wisconsin. We've generally thought about our future and thought about our children. I mean, we were one of the first states to start kindergarten.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, just those kind of things. and thinking about building our future with education and with investing in children, that's kind of where Wisconsin was. And that is not the party line anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to be nonpartisan when you see a party that has actually turned its back on its future, the future of the state. And look, remember, you were here in the Walker administration when public school teachers were vilified.
Yeah. And I come. My dad, my mom, my brother-in-law, my sister, all public educators.
Yeah, vilified, absolutely vilified. And you know, that was the real steep, slippery slope.
Yeah.
Where we consistently defunded education since then, with a majority in the legislature. But we have to talk politics. You can't not talk politics when you talk about schools these days.
And that's
these are political decisions. These are public institutions. And so they're political decisions. They're public policy, at least. Mm. They can be nonpartisan, but it is public policy.
And that's why I say on this show all the time. I mean, we're just trying to get to the truth. I'm a former Republican, but I'm not a member of any party right now. I'm not a member of the Democratic Party. I just want to get to the truth. And I think most of our listeners across Wisconsin say, let's just get something done. Let's talk about one of the organizations that is trying to get something done. As you said, you were one of the co-founders, but one of the key founders of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. If you would, by the way, we're talking to Dr. Julie Underwood. She is a former dean of the UW-Madison College of Education and one of the founders of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Julie, for those who might not have heard it, give us a little bit about the background of what this education network is and how it got started.
Well, the Public Education Network is a network of pro-public school organizations across the state of Wisconsin. And the goal is to help every community support their public schools, and then to pull those people together so that they can network together, they can learn from each other, and you can keep this grassroots organization going. And the key to it was trying to get, or the key reason for it, was trying to get the legislators to listen to their constituents. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, generally across the state of Wisconsin, people say, you know, my public school's great, but the legislators will often say to their constituents, well, yeah, I'm for public schools. And then they turn around in a vote and vote against the best interest of the public schools. So we needed to turn that around. And the best way to turn that around in a representative democracy is at the grassroots level. So that was the goal, is to get these organizations to continually support public schools across the state and to help them.
You make such a great point, because I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I believe it was 81 different local public school referendums on the ballot last November, and I think all but like 16 of those passed in terms of locals voting for more money to tax themselves for the public school, but then turn around and vote an overwhelming number of Republicans into the legislature. Sometimes they're the same person on the same ballot, they're voting for more public school education, but then voting for a legislator who's anti-public school education.
Absolutely. And it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah.
That people will be able to say, oh, yes, you know, I support public schools. And then they turn around and vote to cut funding and to increase funding for private schools through vouchers. Mm. Now, Tommy Thompson's the one who started that. Mm. And it's kind of funny that you think about vouchers today being Juneteenth because of the historic segregative nature of vouchers when they very first started in the United States.
And you know, that I was around, you know, I was around during that time when the vouchers first started. And I think that the idea at the time was, hey, that everybody should have the opportunity to send their kid wherever they want to go, essentially. But that's just taken to an extreme. I want to ask you about a question that came in over the first half hour. Someone said, we hear all the time in the media that public schools are losing students to private schools, that enrollment's going down. Is that true or is that false?
Absolutely false. Mm-hmm. At least in the voucher programs, many of those students, and in the statewide voucher programs, more than half the students who are in those statewide voucher programs never were in the public schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, because wow. There's a way to get in there without ever having been enrolled in the public schools. So it's not as if students were switching from the public to the private. The only thing that switched was who paid their tuition, mm-hmm. whether their parents paid their tuition or whether the state pays their tuition. That's the only difference in that situation.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but there are some districts where enrollment's going down, but it's for everyone because we're just kind of going through a generational cycle where there are some places that are going down enrollment everywhere because people weren't having as many babies. True or false on that?
Sure. Demographically, you know, we're going down in terms of children of school age. And in addition, there's a demographic shift in the state of Wisconsin where the population is kind of draining out of the north and headed to the south part of the state. So you see that in population changes in school districts, too.
We are talking to Julie Underwood. She is one of the founders of the Wisconsin Public Education Network and former dean of the University of Wisconsin-Madison College of Education. We're going to learn more about the Wisconsin Public Education Network, how you can get involved, and what that means for public education across the Badger State. Stay with us now. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We have a sunny, warm week coming up this week. In fact, we're not expecting to see much in the way of rain until at least Saturday night, possibly into Sunday. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to about 89 for a high this afternoon. The wind southeast at 5 to 15. Basically the same each day this week. 61 clear tonight, 90 tomorrow, 88 on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Taking all callers. It's the Tile Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 1:50 on the time and temperature sign. Appreciate you being with us. Coming up next hour, just after 2 o'clock, in his old time slot, Luke Mathers. It is Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and we have all kinds of tangents to go down. Looking forward to having Mr. Mathers on the program here in the next hour. And then coming up at 2:30, Matt Solomon, formerly of The Onion, and now of Cracked.com, a national publication. Great satire, great writing. I'm going to be talking to you, Matt Solomon. How difficult is it to write satire in today's day and age when truth is stranger than fiction? I mean, really, little the Kion right now. Kion is a fancy word for saying the banner at the bottom of your TV screen. The Kion last hour on CNN, Donald Trump under arrest in Miami. I mean, hard to write satire that's weirder than that, right? Talking about interviews and not wanting to come on this program, talking about the Republican Party of Wisconsin banning or seemingly to ban Civic Media, not allowing us to come to the Republican state convention this weekend in La Crosse, like we were at the Democratic convention in Green Bay last weekend, not having the current elected officials, despite being invited by this program. I also know that, as goes Wisconsin, and Kristen Bry has invited numerous times Republicans, current city Republicans on her program, as goes Wisconsin, and they don't want to come on. They don't want to just have a discussion. And I'm convinced, as a former longtime Republican who left the party in 2011 over so-called voter ID, which were in reality voter suppression bills. That's why I left. I used to be in those rooms. And I know some of the players that are still there. I think they're afraid that their platform doesn't connect with 50+1% of the Wisconsin population. That's what I think. You want to find out how you take on misinformation? Great example right here. We're going to play for you. Last night, California Governor Gavin Newsom was on Hannity on Fox News. And we don't play a lot of Hannity cuts on this show. But here's a great one, because Gavin Newsom shows us the roadmap of how you take on disinformation. Let's pick it up. Hannity taking on Governor Gavin Newsom of California.
For our president, I have great confidence in his leadership.
I don't want him to fail.
He's been able to accomplish.
I think his policies are failing.
CHIPS Act, Science Act, do you oppose that?
I will tell you, on every measure, from the economy, inflation, borders, energy, national security, he's missing in action.
Let's talk about them in order. I want to challenge the premise. You said the economy, 13.1 million jobs he's created. More.
These are post-COVID jobs. Okay. You know that. That's an artificial number.
Then let me stipulate this as an opportunity to engage civilly on this.
Okay.
Fair point. Your president, Donald Trump, lost 2.6 million jobs during his 4 years. We've created 13.1 million. Fine, you can maintain a COVID frame. How about the fact that Joe Biden's created more jobs, six times more jobs, than the previous three Republican presidents combined?
Are you going to tell me, Sean, that the average family, where we have two-thirds of Americans now living paycheck to paycheck...
It was 70% under Trump. That was 70% under Donald Trump.
Pre-COVID, we had the lowest unemployment rate for every demographic.
We have the lowest black unemployment in history. You are living with the lowest unemployment we had in our lifetime, Sean.
We had it for every demographic, and the economy was
black unemployment's record low under Joe Biden.
Okay. We had historic low after historic low under Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. I mean,
here's what I don't want to have happen. Trump's clock,
Biden, in terms of the progress and job creation.
Look at what he's done on jobs. What would you grade?
There you go. You want to know how you take on disinformation? With the truth. But you got to bring the receipts. You can't just talk out of your posterior. Gavin Newsom came loaded for bear with, guess what? Facts and the truth. And Sean Hannity didn't have a leg to stand on. We've delayed it a couple of days. Time now for Board Game of the Week.
I hope you're ready for the delayed, tape delayed, no, it's still live, June 9th edition of Board Game of the Week.
We're a little late, but a lot of breaking news with the Trump indictment and this stuff going on with the Republican Party of Wisconsin. But Mr. Zomers, we give you the floor for the rest of the next 4 minutes here. Board Game of the Week.
Yeah, just a little bit going on in the world right now. But anyway, Board Game of the Week this time is Machi Koro.
Very good.
A second one as well. They're very similar. So this is a recommendation of them both, Machi Koro and Machi Koro 2. Both of them are 2 to 4 players. It costs about $30, and it takes about half an hour to play. And they're both pretty simple, so it's a nice game to play with your family or when you don't have that much time to play a game. So every player is the mayor of a new town, and you race your opponents to develop your city to a certain point and get the most landmarks and businesses and things like that opened up. You start off with a farm field and a bakery. And they have numbers on them, like 1 through 6, and you roll a die on your turn. And if you roll a 1 and you have a 1 on one of your buildings, that produces a resource for you. And you use that to get more of your buildings and landmarks and businesses. There are fun abilities, like with some of the fields, it doesn't just trigger on your turn. It's like if anyone rolls a 2, you get some wheat, things like that. It's pretty simple, pretty quick. And the art is very pretty. It's like simple, clean lines with bright colors. So it's
nice.
As Todd and I have said before, you gotta love a game with nice tactile pieces that
I
just
love
look good and feel
pieces.
Good to play.
Right, exactly. How you spell it for folks, if you could please.
MachiKoro for Machi Koro.
And very good.
That is the Board Game of the Week.
Did we get a cost there, Mr. Zomers? What's the cost of that one?
Yes. It is $30.
$30. Not bad at all. Going to be a little rainy, I think, maybe later on this afternoon or tonight. Pick yourself up a board game. We appreciate you letting us delay that a couple of days on a busy couple of news days here, Mr. Zomers.
Once again, there's just a little bit going on in this country right now.
Just a little bit going on. Got to have an update for you here at the top of the hour. Former President Donald Trump is under arrest, or at least he was as of a few minutes ago. He may have been arraigned, fully arraigned at this point, and released on his own cognizance. Wouldn't it be great if the judge just said, "Nah, you're going to stay here"? Probably not going to happen, but it would be entertaining. Trump is going through his arraignment right now in Miami. I have an update for you here at the top of the hour. Come back at hour number two and talk to our very own Luke Mathers from Town Call. Also here going down a Tuesday tangent with Luke just after the news at 2:30. Matt Solomon from Crack.com and formerly of The Onion on how weird is it to write satire in this day and age. All that and more, your phone calls as well along the way. Thanks for joining us. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.